We're glad that we can sing together. We're glad that we can worship together. I'm glad that we can study together. Tonight we'll be doing all of those things. I encourage you to participate this evening. I have several men that have agreed to lead a song during our lesson this evening. We're going to be taking a few breaks to sing. We're studying to emphasize the points that we're trying to make. I'm thankful for them for being willing to do that, just like Stuart has already done so far this evening, being able to hand a man a list of songs and say, lead them. And they're willing to do that, and I'm so thankful for them and their willingness to do that. This morning, Brother Guy talked about the life of Christ and the resurrection, and we're going to continue thinking about the life of Christ this evening. I don't know what I did. What'd I do, Connor? Thank you. We're going to be talking about the life of Christ this evening. I hope that we get through it. I don't know that I will, the way I'm starting off this evening. As we think about the life of Christ, and we think about the two songs that we've already sung this evening, the fact that Jesus Christ, our Savior, He is deity. He is God. He is worthy of praise, both God the Son and God the Father are worthy of that praise. They deserve the praise that we give them. They deserve to be worshipped. We think about Christ's life, and we have to go back to the beginning. We have to understand that in Christ's life, as in ours, God had a plan. God had a plan for Him just like He has a plan for us. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18 says, "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other." God is the Lord. God is the Creator. He created this earth to be inhabited. He created it to be lived on, both by us and by God the Son. He had a plan for it. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 says, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for a thousand generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments." God has a plan for us. And He has made promises to us that He is faithful to keep. God is the Creator of all this earth. And we dwell in it. We are its inhabitants. Let us be thankful that we can be here, that we can be together to worship Him as Creator. Thank you, Buzz. You know, it should give us comfort to know that God is the creator of all things. It should give us comfort to know that God has placed us here just for a short period of time. It should give us comfort to know that part of God's plan is for us to spend an eternity with Him. Christ's life was part of God's plan. Christ has been with God since the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created." John 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God." Verse 14 there of John chapter 1 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Christ's life was part of God's plan. Jesus, talking in John chapter 14, verse 6, says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Christ's life is part of God's plan. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Think about Christ's life. It can be summed up with one word: love. God loved us so much that He sent His Son. Christ loved us so much that He came. He lived among us. He suffered temptation just like we do. He lived a perfect life, set a perfect example for us. And He was the perfect sacrifice. As He was in the garden, He prayed, "Let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thine." Christ's life is love. Christ's love for us and God's love for us. as we continue to think about Christ's life here on earth, we think about His final day, the things that He would go through. Donnie this morning at the table read a list of things that Christ endured. Difficult to listen to. Difficult for us to fathom. To think about someone suffering through those things for us. Christ's life was part of God's plan. But so was His death. We've already stated that Christ lived a perfect life and left us a perfect example to strive for. Because of those things, He was the perfect sacrifice for us. Purest of pure. Prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 through 10, talks about Christ's death. It says, He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. By His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so He opened not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare His generation? For He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, He was stricken. They made His grave with the wicked, but with the rich at His death, because He had done no violence, nor was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He has put Him to grief. When you make His soul an offering for sin, you shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. Think about the sufferings that Christ went through on our behalf. He dealt with those things alone. To witness one of your best friends deny you. To have others leave you behind. To deal with the beating, the mockings, being spat upon, being hung on a cross, and to say, "Forgive them. They know not what they do." Christ's death was part of the plan. We weren't there, but we are benefactors of it.
Thou Son of God, we saw Thee not,
Christ's life and Christ's death were part of God's plan, but also His resurrection. His resurrection were part of God's plan. Mark chapter 16, verse 6, a verse very similar to one guy used this morning, says, "But He said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid Him.'" Christ's resurrection was part of God's plan, just as Christ entered the tomb, so do we. Christ entered the tomb as a dead man, and He was resurrected. He came back to life here on earth. We too will die to an old man. We put away the old man when we enter the waters of baptism, and we rise up anew. Jesus, after His resurrection, met with His disciples, and He talked to them about that. Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 16, it says, "Later He appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. And He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.'" Jesus was saying, "I want you to go and teach. I want people to remember. I want people to die to that old man and be risen anew." Paul, when he wrote to the Galatians, talked about the same thing. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, he says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You have put on Christ. People around you can see it in the way that you live, the way that you act, the way that you behave. But isn't this not something that's on the outside? Baptism isn't something that, or becoming a Christian isn't something that's just a word. It's not something we put on just telling others. It's something that's inside of us. It's Christ inside of us. Paul, when he writes his second letter to the Corinthians, 13th chapter, verse 5, he says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" Christ is in you. You've put Him on, and now He's in you. God's plan for us started in the beginning. It included Christ coming to earth to live as a man. It included Christ dying on the cross for our sins. And it included Him rising from the dead. One of the last things He tells His disciples is to tell others about Me. Do you know Him? Do you know Jesus? Have you entered the waters of baptism? Have you been forgiven of your sins? Do you believe? Do you know that you have sin in your life? Are you a Christian who has sin in your life that is public in nature, that you need to make correction of? If there's any way that we can assist you, we would invite you to come while together we stand and while we sing.